I want to say a big thank you to our soloists, to guitarists, to our choir, to everybody for really getting me in the mood for Christmas. I don't know about everybody else, but it certainly touches our hearts and souls. The world is always changing. No matter what we do, it continues to change. If you don't believe me, I want to show you an image from 33 years ago. That's a picture of me. Do you think I've changed? Maybe just a little. In the same way, the gifts that we give on Christmas Day have also changed. I want you to look at some of the gifts under the tree tonight. Some gifts in the past given, of course, is Twister. Or what about Lincoln Logs? Somebody's clapping for Lincoln Logs. That's good. Or what about Talking Battleship? Or what about an old Singer sewing machine? Yeah. What about this? Anybody recognize what these are? I'm just guessing some of the kids have no idea that this is a VHS videotape. And we have on the floor here, I'm sure years ago, somebody's greatest desire of a computer. And a nice light laptop. Probably weighs about 10 pounds. Wouldn't you want to carry that around? Or what about an Xbox One? Anybody want an Xbox One tonight? I saw some. Look at this. Yeah, I do. It's a new video game system, right? Yeah. So some kids, I'm sure, are wondering tomorrow if they're going to get an Xbox One. But do you notice how gifts have changed? I mean, radically changed. I can tell you, even our Christmas ritual on Christmas morning in my family has changed. When my son was really young, he would get up at the crack of dawn and wake us up. Let's open up the presents. Finally, we had to put rules. No earlier than 6 a.m. So you can guess, at 5:59... can we open him? Now he's 21. He loves sleep more than he does presents. What happens now is mom and dad end up at his room at 8 o'clock saying, "Get up! We want to open the presents!" Christmas rituals have changed. And I know that when my son gets married, he'll have his own Christmas rituals with his own family, and there will be yet another change. You and I are not the same as last year. We are changing. Some of you got married this past year. I know because I've done some weddings for some 20-year-olds in our church and some 80-year-olds in our church. And it doesn't matter what age, there is a definite change. Some of you got divorced this past year. Some of you had a child this past year. And thank goodness, because we need a baby Jesus tonight. Some of you learned to drive this year and almost gave your parents a heart attack. Some of you filed bankruptcy. Some of you lost a loved one to death. And frankly, tonight you're feeling very lonely. Some of you retired this year and you're wondering, how in the world did you ever work because you're busier now? Some of you lost a job this past year and you're stressed. Some of you found a job this year. Some of you just moved to Arizona, where you live the first summer and you realize that it's sometimes hotter in Arizona than it is in the opposite of heaven. And some of you have been dealing with a difficult health problem. And some of you have found health this year. You see, in some way, every single one of us has changed since last Christmas. But tonight we're reading the same story. If you only come to church on Christmas Eve, you're probably wondering, why is it every time I come to church, the pastor reads the same scripture and preaches the same sermon every time I come to church? Why doesn't he change it up a little bit and we read some different story? Yes, it's the same story every Christmas. Why do we read the same story every Christmas? Because in the midst of our changing lives, we need to hear it. This story that always stays the same, that gives us the same gifts. 2,000 years ago, the Hebrews were looking for a Messiah. A Messiah who would overthrow the Roman Empire and who would rid all the Roman soldiers from their territory. They were looking for a king who would be greater than King David. They were looking for a Messiah who would bring God to earth. The Dead Sea Scrolls, by the way, confirm this. They were found in a cave near Qumran. You want to show that image? I visited Qumran. It's on the shore of the Dead Sea. It's in ruins today. But in the Dead Sea Scrolls, it says that in this community of Qumran, they used to set an empty chair at every sacred meal once a day for the Messiah. They believed he was coming. And they believed he was coming very, very soon. So soon, in fact, they better leave an empty chair. Now, for Christians on Christmas Eve, we celebrate tomorrow the birth of the Messiah. Although we really don't know which day he was born. The early church picked December 25th. Probably because it was shortly after the winter solstice, the shortest day in the year. So it was sort of to say that lightness is now overcoming darkness. And Jesus is that light coming into the world. On Christmas Eve, we remember that our Savior was born. And that stays the same every year. Every year, even when we change. Jesus didn't save the Hebrews from the Romans. He didn't bring an army to throw out the Roman legions. He didn't become a king greater than David. What he did was he came to help us to be saved from ourselves, to give us gifts. Lasting gifts. The first gift that he gives us that I want to recognize tonight is a gift that comes from the manger. And that gift is to help us to not be so self-focused, but we're to be outwardly focused. Because we have a tendency as humans to do that, to focus on our own desires, our own needs. And yet Jesus was always trying to get us to think of others instead of ourselves. Matter of fact, he even said, when you help the least of these, you help me. John Cools, a very strong member of our church, died December 13th. He worked in our food bank. We give out about 40,000 pounds of food a year. For 7 months, he had been dying of cancer. Every month, getting a little weaker. But what he told other people was, serving in the food bank was the highlight of his week. And over those months when he had to give things up in his life, guess what he hung on to? He hung on to his job in the food bank until finally he also could not do that anymore. He knew what was important was to focus on others. The second gift that Jesus gives us is a gift to remind us that we shouldn't look at others with a critical eye. Matter of fact, he even told of how we should first remove the log from our own eye before we remove the speck from somebody else's. By the way, if you don't think Jesus has a sense of humor, I mean, just visualizing what he's saying is a little crazy. But he was trying to make that point stick. That often it's so easy to slide into criticizing others. Another gift that Jesus gives us. He wants to get us to get rid of all our bitterness and our anger. And to let things go. To learn how to forgive. To learn how to be reconciled. Maybe with people we've been hating for decades. He tries to move us towards a life of mercy and move us toward forgiveness. Shannon Etheridge was 16. She was driving the family car on the way to school. She was driving down a country road when she hit and ran over a person on a bike, Marjorie Justifar. Marjorie died. The authorities, of course, looked over the accident scene, and they were pretty definite that Shannon was clearly at fault for killing this woman. Shannon felt so much guilt over killing somebody. She contemplated a couple times taking suicide, but there's something that saved her from that. It was Marjorie Justifar's husband, Gary, who interceded, who went to the attorney and convinced them to drop all charges. And then he went to Shannon and he said, "I forgive you. I don't want this to ruin your life," he said. "Matter of fact, my wife, who is a godly woman, I want you to carry on her legacy. I want you to live on in her footsteps." That was 20 years ago. Today, Shannon Etheridge is a best-selling author. She's written the books Every Girl's Battle, Every Woman's Battle, and a book titled Completely His, Loving Jesus Without Limits, that helps people deal with guilt. And the reason she's living that way is because of a husband's forgiveness. It's how Jesus wants us to live. A fourth gift is Jesus wants to live us to live a life that is free of guilt, that allows all the past to be gone, that gives us new hope for new horizons and new beginnings. And he tells us he loves us, and he sets us free from our sin if we will only confess and start again. He seeks to save us from all the past, all the things in our lives that we feel so guilty about, so that we might rise up out of those ashes and become new. It's a story about a woman named Margaret in her 40s. Margaret was suffering serious depression, and it all centered from when she was 9. You see, she'd grown up in a very small town with a one-room schoolhouse. She'd kind of been in a feud with her teacher in that schoolhouse. And it all came to a head when she was 9, and she came in late from recess. And Miss Garner, the teacher, said to Margaret, "Margaret, you're late again. I want you to stand in front of the class. I'm going to teach you a lesson." And then she said to the class, "I want each one of you to go up to the board and write something bad about Margaret." And that's what they did. All 25 of them. Margaret's selfish. Margaret's a dummy. Margaret will go nowhere. Margaret is fat. Margaret, it just went on. Every single word on that blackboard smothered her soul that day. When school was over, she ran home and faking like she was sick, she just went into her bedroom and she crawled into bed and tried to sleep, but she couldn't, and she just sobbed. For 40 years, she dealt with this guilt. Finally, she went to see a psychologist. She went into counseling for 2 years, and finally, it was graduation day. And the counselor said to her, "Margaret, this is the day. I think you're through with this, but I want you one last time to just remember all those kids and what they wrote on the board, and I want you to share them just one more time." And it took all her strength, but she talked about every single kid and what they wrote, and then she broke down crying again. That's when she heard, Margaret, "Margaret, there's one more person in that classroom." And she said, "No, there isn't. There were 25. I know them well." And he said, "Oh, no, there was one more. See him, Margaret? He's getting up. He's in the back of the room. He's walking to the front. Miss Garner is handing him chalk. Margaret, it's Jesus. He's taking the eraser, and he's erasing all those bad words about you. And Margaret, he's writing new words. Margaret is loved. Margaret is blessed. Margaret is beautiful. Margaret can do anything." With those words, Jesus wants us to begin again. Another gift is Jesus saves us from death. As Christians, we believe that this life is not all there is, but there is a heaven. And Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me shall have eternal life." Remember John Cools I talked about earlier? Member of the church? 2 days before he died, he told his wife, "I talked to Jesus. She told me," he said it in such a convincing fashion that she believed, "he talked to Jesus." And then he said to her, "We had a good marriage. I will wait for you." That's the comfort we have as Christians. That there is eternal life, that one day we will be with our loved ones again, and one day we will be with Jesus. All these gifts are the same, year after year after year. These gifts, they change. These gifts stay the same. You can take these gifts. It's your choice. It's up to you. The Christian message is that there is always an invitation that you may receive these gifts. All you have to do is pray, "Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I want to follow you." Years ago, when I was a young kid, about 6 years old, my mom dragged me to church. Do you know why I went to church? Because she dragged me to church. When she quit dragging me to church at junior high, guess what? I quit going to church. Until a cute girl in the youth group invited me to come to church. You know why I went to church then? Because she was cute. Now, that relationship didn't work out. But I continued to go because of volleyball. And then I found myself going for the programs. And then I found myself really loving this Jesus guy. And I found myself saying, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I want to follow you. Do you know that I've held to that belief even though I've changed? And if you don't believe I've changed, remember that picture from 33 years ago. The one thing that has been constant is always trying to follow Jesus. That's the truth tonight that stays the same. So we come to the manger. And it reminds us, Christians, of how Jesus was born to be our Savior, God in human flesh. And we have a choice to follow Him. He is the light that comes in the midst of darkness.